Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, and as we just heard, the part of the gospel is from Saint Matthew. It's a common reading. We hear it more than once throughout the year. And we find here that the Lord is meeting the Pharisees and the scribes, and they are accusing him that he is casting out demons by the head demons, Beelzebub. And this is not the first time, and actually it is not the only time, where the Lord is faced with opposition. People are rejecting his teaching or are confronting him in different way. So what we need to learn from this today is how we face oppositions ourselves. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where differences are not acceptable, and people are every day arguing with each other up to the point of even like maybe struggling or fighting, because now there is no tolerance for the opinion and the other opinion. Even the people who are calling for tolerance, they are so much intolerant for other people's point of view. So how can we face opposition? How can we answer this? The Lord gave us some tips on how to handle by his life and how he dealt with the Pharisees and the scribes and all those people who came against him. Let us review some of the principles, how the Lord confronted and faced opposition. In the first example that we see today, he was accused that he has a head demon, and with it he is casting out other demons. This was an accusation that has no foundation. They cannot prove it in any way. And actually this is very common. And it is so personal. It's not about what he is doing, but about like whom he is and how he is doing things. Even though this discussion or this opposition was personal, he answered resorting to objectivity. He did not answer by claiming something personal against the Pharisees or the scribes. He kept still the logic of the discussion, meaning if I cast out demons by the head demons, then Satan is divided against himself. This is logic, and again, this is objective. He did not get engaged in a personal discussion where people are accusing each other of accusations they cannot prove in any way. This is a way in any kind of discussion that we get engaged with, that we have always to try our best to resort to objectivity and logic in whatever point of view we are presenting. In another occasion, the Lord was silent. He did not answer anything. He was brought to be tried before the high priest, and then later before Pontius Pilate, and then Pontius Pilate even like referred him to Herod. And we find that the Lord was silent before all of them. And as we see, the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is in these men? These men testify against you." But Jesus kept silent. Why he was silent? There is no discussions that are described by St. Paul as foolish and ignorant, meaning they made up their mind, we are going to find fault with this guy. So anytime he's going to talk, it's a proof for them. Yes, this is what we meant. So nothing here is going to be attained from this discussion. They are not talking or asking to find answers. They are talking with him to find reasons why we should kill you. They made up their mind, and the discussion now has no purpose. That's why the Lord was not engaged in it. We find, unfortunately, this kind of accusations are like filling the social media, and people accusing each other of anything. Actually, the wise person, the prudent person will be silent. This kind of discussions will get us nowhere. If the discussion is objective, if the discussion is for the aim of the truth, then there is value in it. But if the discussion is just like going back and forth, I already made up my mind, give me the reasons from your answers, then silence should be the response. In another way, in another confrontation, this was with Satan himself. So he answered from the scripture, and we know the trial or the temptation on the mount. Three times the Lord said, "It is written, it is written." The first time he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He was, of course, here referring to the passage in the book of Deuteronomy. When you are debating with Satan, then the response should be from the scripture. Maybe Satan does not appear to us in person like we see in the temptation, But sometimes Satan speaks in our ears, some ideas that come to us, some suggestions from him, do this or don't do that. The best response is to answer from the scripture. Sometimes Satan actually is like moving people and talking on their tongues, in their mouths. When you hear that whatever you are hearing is satanic, is devilish, the only response should be from the scripture as the Lord taught us. In another occasion, we find that the Lord here is not answering the question, but is exposing the motive. What is behind this? What is in the heart of those people who are talking with him? This is a kind of confrontation that's maybe tough, but sometimes this is the only way to reveal the truth. Why you are talking this way? What is in your heart because of this? What is in your mind behind this? So we found he answered this when the Pharisees and the scribes and the disciples were talking about marriage and how there should not be any divorce. And they told him, why Moses granted us in the Old Testament that a man can divorce his wife? So the Lord here is answering, exposing the motives of the people. Said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. He's telling why this is. This is because of the hardness. It's not a permission to do something against God's will. It is from the beginning God instituted marriage to be once and to be to the end of the person's life. In another occasion also, the people kept nagging with him, going back and forth. And then he says to the Pharisees and the scribes, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He is the messenger and he is God himself. They wanted to shoot the messenger. I don't like you because of what you say. And that's why the Lord is exposing them. You want to kill me. You do not want to hear the message. You do not want to hear the truth. The truth hurts and makes you offended. And that's why you want to kill me. In another occasion, St. Paul is doing the same with the people of Corinth. They arose against him. They objected his teaching. And he told them, you are not restricted because of us, but you are restricted by your own hearts, your own affections. It is your hearts that make you feel offended. It is not us and what we are telling you. So on this occasion, we find the Lord is cutting the discussion short by showing the people the motives. You are talking this way because of this reason. In another occasion, we find that the Lord is answering by a principle, stating a principle. How? When they brought to him the coin and they asked him, should we pay like taxes? Should we give money to the government or not? They did not want an answer. They wanted to like catch him with his response. And we find the Lord knowing this, he is answering with a principle. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. One of the principles on which this country was built is the separation of from the state from the church. And this is something that's biblical. This is what the Lord said. We should not mix things up and say this is the only way where like things should happen or else. Or this is what God says, accordingly the government should do this. Or the yes, of course, at the end of the day, we are governed, but what is right and what is wrong, what is truthful and what should not be. But at the end of the day, it's a separation from the state, from the church. In another occasion, we find also the Lord is doing the same, reminding the people with a principle. They were offended because he was meeting with sinners and tax collectors. And they asked the disciples, why your teacher is hanging out with those people? Then the Lord answered, said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So here again, the principle stands. Till now, we can still use the principle in answering why the church is allowing people who are not good to be in. Why is allowing those people to come and maybe participate in the service or maybe taking communion? Again, we say those who are sick and willing to be healed, those who are welcome, those who are here in order for them to receive treatment, nothing like should be like absurd with this. In another occasion, another confrontation, we find the Lord is not accepting accusations against others. The Pharisees came to him and saying, why do your disciples are eating without washing their hands? So he's telling them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, for it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He did not accept the accusation against those people. Sometimes we do the same. We volunteer to accuse others and to come asking the church to do something about certain people. Why those people are here? Why they are serving? Why this person is a deacon? Actually, the response should be, I should always mind my own business. I come to the church as a sinner seeking to be treated. All of us are the same. If you find another person having another illness different than yours, this does not make you or me better. Does not make you or me physicians. We are all here in this hospital as sinners, as sick people seeking repentance. The Lord never allowed this. People accuse against other and he will endorse it. Never. He defended every time those people were accused. As see in the next point, whenever there is accusation falsely carried or even truthfully carried against someone, he defended the weak and the despised. So the woman who came in the house of Simon the Pharisees, she washed the Lord's feet with her tears. Simon the Pharisee said, this woman is not good, she shouldn't be here. And if this man was a prophet, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. Then he says, defending her, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. He defended her before everyone. Those people who are looking to her as if like she is a filth, she should not be here. He defended her and gave her dignity and restoration and also forgiveness of her sins. In another occasion, when the people brought to him the woman that was caught in adultery, and she brought her in the middle in order to scandalize her and also to ask him, what is your judgment? Moses told us that this woman should be stoned to death. Then he answered saying, he is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. He did not say that she is not guilty, and he did not say that she is guilty and worth to be killed. He said, it's okay, yes, she is mistaken, but who are you are bringing accusations against her? He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Defended the woman from this kind of difficult situation that she was at. Of course, we do not understand from these passages that the Lord defended sin. A big difference between defending sinners who are repenting versus defending sin, accepting it as a lifestyle or promoting it as it's okay. Because of the kindness of the heart of the Lord, let him go and do whatever. At the end of the discussion, he said to this woman, go and do not do likewise. Change your behavior. In another occasion, facing opposition, the Lord is answering with a question. The question should raise in the mind of the people, like, why we are doing this? Is what I'm asking is right? This is in the occasion when the people in the synagogue, they felt like no one should be treated on Saturday. People are coming to seek to be treated, and this is against, in their mind, against the law. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him, waiting for him to make a mistake of treating this person. And then we accuse him as a person who violates a command for God. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? What exactly are you asking yourself and asking me? Are you offended because someone is healed, someone is treated, someone will go out from the house of God today feeling, I have a new start, I was treated from an illness that I suffered for many years? So here he's answering them with a question. Answer this question in your mind. Do you care really about this person or about God? Or at the end of the day, it is the traditions that you are inventing against even the command of God to to do mercy and to be merciful to others. In other occasion, we find in another confrontation, this confrontation was physical, meaning Saint Peter was trying to defend him in Gethsemane. So he got his sword and he cut the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. Then we find the Lord is saying to Saint Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. The Lord was always peaceful, even when things started to be violent, and even people were laying hands on him, trying to capture him at the Garden of Gethsemane. The tenth and the last principle we learn from the Lord on how to face opposition is, he taught, he explained by teaching, by a parable, and he taught with humility. He knew that this opposition comes from ignorance, and many, many times out of ignorance and not knowing what they are asking exactly. We find, for example, here how the Lord is explaining to Simon, who was offended at the sinful woman coming to his house, washing the Lord's feet. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. And then he gave him a question, a parable. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and none of them was able to pay. What do you think? Who will love him more? Simon concluded, the man who was forgiven with more. So he told Simon, instead of judging the woman, maybe it's time for you to think about you also being indebted to God. In all of these principles and all of these confrontations, we find in none of them the Lord violated the borders or the limits of respect to anyone. Never violated the order of peace in any kind of confrontation or discussion. It is something that's amazing how he was able to keep all the time his love and respect to those people, either by answering or by even resorting to silence. This is a lesson for all of us. While we live in a time where everyone has an opinion and cannot tolerate other person's opinion, it is time for us to think about how the Lord is teaching us to face opposition with respect, with logic, and with the right response from the scripture. This is what we are called to live by, because we are called to be in his image. We are all Christians living to glorify and to portray the image of Christ before every person. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.